Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our holy and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm sorry, but your daughter is dying. There's nothing we can do. We've tried everything. But in the end, your precious little girl is going to die. Can you imagine what must have been going through Jairus' mind at such a time? Our gospel doesn't list him by name, but Mark and Luke tell us his name is Jairus, and he was a ruler or elder of the synagogue at Capernaum. A man of some influence. But death is the great equalizer. Death seems so final. And the world we live in would have you believe that death is the end. One day you are alive, and the next day you're simply dead. Now, I'm sure most of us have had a similar experience as Jairus. One day, your loved one was struggling to hang on to life, and the next day, they were just gone. Or maybe you haven't had anyone so close to you pass away. Even if that isn't the case, many of us have watched a loved one struggle. She had been so sick for so long. She was so sick, in fact, that she couldn't even do the things she loved to do, the things she longed to do. People stopped wanting to hang out with her. She went to every doctor she could find, but no matter what she tried, nothing made it better. She had spent all her money looking for a cure, some new treatment. Some new treatments had seemed promising, but in the end, everything seemed hopeless. Our gospel doesn't list her by name, nor does Mark or Luke. They only note that she was a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years. And Mark and Luke make it clear that she had exhausted all human options, and not all the options she had tried had been pleasant. There was nothing anyone could do for her. In both of these situations, Matthew makes it very clear there seems to be no hope. Jairus' daughter is dead. The woman with a blood flow had exhausted all human options. It's enough that these two could have cried out to God, "Where are you, God? Are you sleeping? Don't you see we need you? Awake, awake! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord! Awake as in days of old." But they didn't. No. Jairus was a leader or elder of the synagogue at Capernaum. He would most certainly have heard Jesus' words, and the Holy Spirit had worked faith in Jairus. In fact, Jesus is deep in conversation with the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist, and Jairus bursts in to plead with Jesus on his knees for his daughter's life. He says, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." That's a confession of faith, if I've ever heard one. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. Only God can raise the dead. And Jairus prays to Jesus to come and touch his daughter and trusts that she will be raised. The same goes for the woman with a blood flow. Now, she doesn't want to bother Jesus, but she has faith that simply touching her Lord will heal her. Jairus and the woman have faith in Jesus. They both believe that he has the power to save, to help, to heal at least the body. They believe that he not only can do this, but they trust that he will do this. They both come to him in humility, in the time of their greatest need, and trust in him for their deliverance. That begs to question, how many of us would have done the same? Oh, we want to believe that we would trust in our Lord when the going gets tough, and maybe we have been through some hard times, but this woman still had faith after 12 years of suffering. 12 years! We start suffering for a few months, and we start wondering how come God isn't answering our prayers. Or, what about when our loved ones are taken from us too soon? We start to wonder if God even hears our prayers. Where are you, God? Are you asleep? Don't you see we're in need? Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake in, as in days of old. But just look at what Jesus does. The ruler comes and kneels before him and prays for deliverance. And Jesus doesn't point out his need to those around him, humbling him even more. No, Jesus gets up and goes with him straight away to answer his prayer. No questions asked. The same goes for the woman with the blood flow. She humbly approaches her Lord and touches the fringe of his garment. And Mark and Luke tell us that power went out from Jesus, and all the accounts tell us that the woman was healed immediately. But then Jesus asks, "Who touched my garment?" Jesus doesn't ask this to scold the woman, but to give her comfort. When he sees her, he says, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." But you know what? That translation doesn't quite get to the meaning of the Greek word. It would be better to say that Jesus says, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has saved your life." And after comforting this faithful woman, he continues to Jairus' house, where all the worldly trappings of death have commenced. The hired mourners have come and are making quite the racket, playing their flutes and making a sorrowful commotion, as those who mourn without hope always do. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling them because they were mourning, but because they had no hope. They had no faith. We see this very plainly when Jesus sends them out saying, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." What do? They laugh at Jesus. These unfaithful sycophants scoff at the Lord of heaven and earth. the one who made us and all living beings, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. But Jesus simply puts the unfaithful out of the house. There's a lesson and a warning there. But Jesus is on a mission to bring comfort to the faithful. He brought the family and his disciples upstairs to the little girl's room, and speaking as to one simply asleep, he took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Notice how both of these miracles happen with a touch. Now, not that Jesus must touch a person for a miracle to happen, but God does want to be intimately involved in the lives of his faithful. This is why God's word comes to us in a physical book that we can touch and hold, and yet through the hearing of this word, the Holy Spirit works the miracle of faith. In your baptism, with the water and his word, God reached down from heaven and through the hands of your pastor, washed you with the blood of his Son, forgiving your sins, giving you his Holy Spirit, and marking you as one of his own little children. And in Holy Communion, our Lord comes to us and we touch his body and blood on our lips, and through faith in his words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, you receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. You see, Jesus came down from heaven, and though he was God, though he is God, he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and made man. And being found in the form of a servant, he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross for your sake. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead, releasing the bonds of death for all times, for all those who believe. That is why Christ could say to Jairus' family that the little girl was not dead, but only sleeping. In fact, in Christ Jesus, every faithful Christian who has ever died is only sleeping, waiting for the day when their soul, which is in heaven, will be united with their body once more. Now, I'm not telling you anything that Pastor Baikie didn't tell you just a few weeks ago on All Saints Day. But today, on the 24th Sunday after Trinity, we see the tangible evidence of exactly what this means. In our darkest times, when we lose a loved one as Jairus did, or when we go through something or see our loved one going through something that from all worldly standards seems hopeless, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We don't have to call out to God in desperation. Where are you, God? Are you sleeping? Don't you see we're in need? Awake, awake! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in days of old. No! We can have faith in the one who has the power to save, to help, to heal not only the body but also the soul. We can trust that he not only can do this, but he wants to do this for us. Remember God's response in our Old Testament reading when those who say, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in days of old," God says to them, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God. Can't you see that God is not the reason you or your loved one is suffering or the reason they have died? Sin is to blame for this awful darkness on the world. God is not the one who has done this to you. In fact, God is the one who has done something about it. God sent his only Son to take our place, and in Christ, death does not have the final say. Through faith, we see that God is there with us, comforting us, and he has the final say. In Christ, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is a promise, my dear Christian brothers and sisters. This will happen in this life or the next. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.